Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Ed, do you believe it? 4 years ago today was the coldest day in Tucson, just about in our history. It was that record cold. It was 18 degrees and a lot colder in a lot of other places. That was the official low, but I think that was the day where, like, I remember at midday it was 25 degrees or something. It was unbelievable, and what a place of contrast we are. And here we are today, almost 80 degrees, perfect for all of our winter visitors and the Gem Show. We have lots to talk about today with two newsmakers. We're going to begin in the first half hour with Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez, a Democrat who represents the 2nd Supervisorial District. Then we'll spend the second half hour of the show with Dr. H.T. Sanchez, Superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Our live line number is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. So let's get right into it with Supervisor Valadez. How are you?
Bill, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Do you remember that day 4 years ago?
As a matter of fact, I do, because I lost a good amount of my garden.
Mm-hmm. So did we. We lost some of the most beautiful cactus that just kind of collapsed. It was horrible to see. They just sort of died from the top down, and we put them out of the misery and just cut it down before the whole thing just...
I think we all had that problem.
Yeah. Let me ask you, if it were on the agenda for next week, a bond election, how would the board go at this point?
I would tell you that I think most of the board is very concerned about whether or not a bond package today could work. And I don't think that there is a clear majority who would place a bond on the ballot today. Certainly some of us are willing to listen to arguments, willing to listen to facts. The truth is there is a lot of need. There's a lot
jobs,
of need in our community.
People complain about roads all the time. So, I mean.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I'm having town halls in my district, and I hear the number one and two issue interchange, and that's jobs and roads, roads and jobs. And I hear that. And I think that we've got to look at whether or not the bond package coming out of the bond advisor committee actually addresses, frankly, jobs. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that roads is the appropriate venue through a long-term debt process like a bond.
So if it doesn't address jobs right off the bat, it's DOA, in your opinion.
It's going to have issues.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to have issues. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that our economy has recovered to the point where our voters are willing to support another bond. So I'm going to be listening very, very carefully to the people of my district and vote accordingly.
All right, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. I think one of your constituents is on the phone with us. Jim Kelly, isn't Supervisorial District Number 2 your district, Jim?
It is.
How are you?
I am well, Ramon. I just can't begin to tell you how pleased I am that you have begun to make some very, very good decisions for our district and for the county. I think you're showing very good leadership. With that said, with your leadership, can the Pima Association of Government sit down with the city of South Tucson and the owner of the old Spanish Trail Motel and come up with a development process that will, A, recreate good sales tax revenue for the city of Tucson, so they can pay their bills, something more aesthetically pleasing to our visitors at I-10 and 4th Avenue. What can you do with your leadership to help with that situation?
As a matter of fact, Jim, and for those of you who don't know, Jim ran against me in 2012, and he's become a friend since that time.
Good.
I've had a discussion with the mayor of South Tucson about that very issue. We've tried a number of different alternatives over the years, and at one point we had a nonprofit developer who had an option on that property to tear down the Spanish Trail Hotel, and then the recession hit. We've certainly started those discussions with South Tucson to see what can be done, because obviously I agree with you, it's an eyesore, but more than that, there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity of being a real economic driver right there in the city of South Tucson to make a difference. So I agree with you, Jim, and we are working on it.
Yeah, because that sign is a huge eyesore, and it is privately owned, but I don't know who the owner is, but if you're listening, could you please cut the sign down? But anyway, Matt is with us next on the live line. A lot of response, and I knew there would be, to Ramon Valadez coming on. Matt wants to talk about property taxes. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, first, I want to echo what Jim said. I mean, I think Ramon, Supervisor Valdez's comments regarding the bonds and equating it right off the top to jobs is absolutely critical. And I am so glad that he's, you know, looking, that the supervisors are seriously looking at the bond package and saying what sort of return on investment are we going to get for this, not just feel-good stuff. The other thing I wanted to say on property taxes, and it goes to that, is it's hurting. I mean, I don't know how to express this to Supervisor Valdez. I know he knows this, and I'm not being critical of the county. I think the county has done an absolutely commendable job given the circumstances of what the state has put them, the last 4 or 5 years has done, and what the state is going to be doing in the future to make it more difficult with regards to prisons and funding and everything. I know that they are doing a good job, but I want to express that saw some checks written on property taxes, and it's absolutely to the point that I think people really can't value their properties to see that they might have to walk away from things because they just can't get the rents. We cannot raise rents on people that don't have money.
Okay, thank you, Matt. About property taxes.
Right. We're facing an interesting situation. In the early 90s, when we had the RTC crisis, the savings and loans crisis, that was considered a major crisis and drop in the assessed value. The assessed value dropped roughly 0.1%. Since the high in terms of our assessed value, and that's just the value of property in Pima County, we have seen between a fifth and a quarter of a drop in the overall assessed value. What we did to compensate for the last 3 to 4 years is that we had seen it coming. So we increased the size of the reserve to between $80 and $100 million and have spent that down to keep from having to do property taxes increases, particularly as the economy was struggling. This current fiscal year, obviously last summer, we actually raised property taxes for the first time significantly. And it was because we've spent down that reserve, and in order to continue to provide the services that we need to provide, the core services, there was a need to do that. Today, we've seen an incredible shift of costs from the state to the county. And the cities and towns are feeling it too. If we take a look at the governor's budget, and obviously the legislature's budget will be a little different, it adds another $10 million to that tab. Now, what's that mean? If you take a look at your property taxes and you look under Pima County primary taxes, one-third of that amount is a check written directly to the state. Where they've had the luxury of saying, we're not going to raise taxes, the cities, towns, and the counties haven't had that luxury because what they've done is they've passed the cost. I think that our voters, our mutual voters, our mutual constituents need to start calling them to the carpet. And if they're going to need those revenues to keep the state running, then let's be honest about it and fix the structural stability of the revenue system in the state, instead of passing cost on in a hidden manner.
All right, Ramon Valadez is with us. It's 12:13 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. A vote is coming up, perhaps February 10th, on this very controversial no tobacco policy. We'll address that as we continue on the Buckmaster Show with Supervisor Valadez. Be right back.
Hey, honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7-lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Welcome
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez, Democrat District 2, is with us. Coming up at 12:30, H.T. Sanchez, Superintendent TUSD. So we've got a couple of important newsmakers with us on the Buckmaster Show today. On Friday, we had Sheriff Clarence Dupnik making that surprise announcement, Supervisor Valadez, about that he's giving up sometime within this year, 35 years law enforcement. Here, actually, if you consider his service with the city before the county, it's like pushing nearly 57 years, something like that.
Right, right.
I know you. A lot of the media contacted you immediately after that story broke.
Right. Obviously, they contacted us to get comment, and you know, Clarence, if you add the service at TEP or TPD. To the sheriff time has been probably one of the longest serving law enforcement officials in the country.
Mm-hmm.
He turned around a department that was really headed in a different direction, and today they're thought of with integrity and honesty, and they do a really good job for us, and they serve us really well. There's been a little bit of a misunderstanding in terms of some of the folks that have called for us to do an election as opposed to do an appointment. State law is very, very clear, and there's no ambiguity. If the seat were vacated in the first half of the term, it's a special election. If it's vacated in the second half of the term, we are required by state law to appoint. And what I've said was very simply, look, we'll look at whoever's interested. We'll certainly accept the sheriff's recommendation, and then we'll make up our own mind.
There'll be some news breaking here on Friday, but maybe we can give our listeners a little bit of a head start here on the Buckmaster Show. On Friday, Pima County will be releasing what is being called its major master plan that's ever been attempted in this county. Can you give us a couple of perhaps preview bullet points?
Sure, Bill. What happened, as you recall, we've talked about the economic development master plan that Pima County developed and released about 4 years ago. We've actually accomplished some of those tasks that we set out. Obviously, one of them being working very closely with Raytheon and relocating the road. We're just about getting ready to do the groundbreaking during the congressional break in March with several members of the congressional delegation. But this new master plan is actually an updated version. Again, it leverages our assets, the University of Arizona, the Port of Tucson, the Tucson Airport. It deals with transportation. We essentially grow our own. We keep that which we have. Obviously, we've had extensive discussions with Raytheon, and we learned what we could do to make sure that they stay in. Frankly, they grow in this community.
Do they like this plan?
Yes. As a matter of fact, if you were at the TRIO annual meeting last year, Taylor Lawrence, who's the CEO of Raytheon Missile Systems, discussed it and, frankly, was offered praise to Pima County for our efforts in working hand-in-hand with Raytheon to make sure not only do they stay here, but they continue to grow here and continue to grow jobs here.
There's supposed to be a vote coming up next week about this very controversial measure, no longer to hire tobacco users in Pima County. What's your thinking about how the vote would go on this if it does come up February 10th?
Well, I'll tell you what, the original proposal was discussed at the end of last year and had been working its way through the process for a little while. And I've made it fairly clear and been fairly public about my lack of support for a prohibition of hiring smokers because, frankly, I've always been a proponent of allowing people to make a choice and to have that choice. The truth is we are self-insured now as a county, which means that we had to make some changes to make sure that our workforce was healthier. But one of those things, one of the things that has occurred, that plan, first of all, is funded by taxpayers about 90%. And we have about one-third of our workforce are smokers, two-thirds that are not, and there isn't any differentiation between what they pay in premium. So I would support just a differentiation premium. It's a choice. You're free to make it.
But the prohibition on hiring, you don't think that's going to go anywhere.
No, right? And I wouldn't support. I would not support that.
And you're very sensitive personally to smoke, isn't that correct?
Yes.
I mean, you have really can get some violent allergies from it.
I have health issues related to being around secondhand smoke.
Yeah. So we can say that at this point anyway, it doesn't look like that's really the ban is going to go anyplace.
No, I wouldn't. Let me be clear. I would not support a ban on hiring smokers because, frankly, I do believe that that is a choice.
Pima County will have 5 budget hearings in April and May. The dates have already been set. This will give the constituents of Pima County, the residents, a chance to show up April 7th, 14th, 21st, May 5th, my wedding anniversary, and May 12th. Thank you for scheduling it that on my wedding anniversary. But folks can come out. Department heads are going to be there at this meeting, and budgets are going to be the public will be listened to.
Right. Congratulations, first of all, on your wedding anniversary.
Thank you very much. I think we're pushing 43 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Part of what happened last year during the budget hearings is I made it very, very clear that I felt that a number of agencies were not being very forthcoming in how they were spending their budget. We would appropriate their budget, and then they would spend it whichever way they saw fit. The end result of that was that we are held accountable, and we should be held accountable as a board, but even in some cases, row officers, other elected officials, there's no accountability there for the budget because we've taken all the heat for them. And some agencies have actually been very good about changing the way they've done things. Some have not been so good. So as a continuation of that statement, it was my proposal, and the board unanimously adopted it yesterday to have budget hearings. Now, the difference between that and study sessions,
study sessions, right, which Allie Miller had called for last year, open study sessions.
The difference is the board cannot act, but more importantly, the public cannot speak at a study session. Mm. So I think it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I came up with this proposal is because I believe the public needs to hear what their money is being spent on, particularly from other elected officials, and then they need to be able to comment. We need to be able to hear them, and we need to be able to hear them right there. If we need to take action and direct staff to do different budgetary issues, we can do that because it's a hearing. But more importantly, people can hear what their money is spent on, and they can make a statement on it.
And the elected officials, that portion of Pima County, they'll probably be at the meetings too, right?
I certainly hope so, because obviously we will be voting subsequently on their budget, and if they're not there to justify it, I don't know how we're going to justify any changes.
But this gives this does give the public a chance to go over the financial documents, what's going to be on the budget. And it really is budget time, isn't it? Because we're now into the second half of the fiscal year. So we're talking about a vote would come on this sometime in June on the next spending package.
If you remember, by state statute, by state law, it's divided into three. There's a tentative budget adoption that, frankly, we just established caps. There's a final budget adoption where we adopt the actual budget. And then there's a levy setting where we actually set the rate. So it's divided into those three components, and there's three different meetings and hearings to do those three different actions. One of the things that I talked about yesterday during the budget discussions on the hearings was that, look, people are free to disagree with the decisions we make, but we have to be very good about making sure they know how we're spending their money. And the public has a right to know.
All right, Supervisor Ramon Valadez, thank you very much. And will those meetings be probably at the supervisor's chambers, or have they determined where they're
going to
be?
Yes, at this point, they're going to be special meetings of the Board of Supervisors at the downtown chambers. What we've done is we will have the regular board meeting in the morning. We will then recess. These hearings are scheduled time-specific to begin at 1:30 on those dates. And then continue until we're done with that particular subject.
And everybody's welcome.
Absolutely.
Okay. Ramon Valdez, thank you very much for coming on the program. And we have H.T. Sanchez, who is coming up with us on the Buckmaster Show. That will be coming up after the break. But before we take the break, I want to say that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by our friends over in Grant County, New Mexico, Silver City. And they are very excited over there because this weekend, February 7th, Ramon, you like chocolate, don't you?
Somewhat, yeah.
Well, they've got the 16th annual Chocolate Fantasia coming up. This is kind of a big deal for Southwest New Mexico, and I strongly recommend all of our Tucson visitors. It's 3 hours, basically, over to Silver City. Great environment, historic downtown area. There will be at least 24 gourmet chocolate vendors who will be urging everyone to sample. That's a lot of chocolate, isn't it?
It is.
in one day. That's a lot of sugar there that's going to be floating around, but it's going to be fun. So that's this Saturday over in Silver City. We send a lot of our Buckmaster Show listeners over there, and everybody comes back and says the same thing. It's great over there. Silver City in New Mexico, they do a great job in promoting one of the most beautiful areas, the Gila, which is the nation's first wilderness area. So there's a lot to do. You can visit their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Plenty of places to stay and good places like Casitas de Gila guest houses. Coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, H.T. Sanchez is next, right after this.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Perfection Auto Works knows that no one wants auto repair for Valentine's Day. People say it's just not sexy. Well, I'm here to tell you that it is. Because your wife doesn't just drive a Porsche or a Mercedes, she wears it. You had the good taste to buy her that car. Now, have the good taste to take it to a great shop. Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
Don Pooley.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
I thought I just saw you.
Diana Cannon.
Thanks for coming.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
I know that face.
Hey, it's Ryan Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, TUSD board member Dr. Mark Stegeman joins us. Also, we'll talk with Leah Marquez Peterson. Ms. Peterson heads up the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce here in Tucson. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com for anywhere in the world live streaming, our podcasts, and complete audio archive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on a very busy news day as far as we're concerned. A couple of newsmakers started the show off with Ramon Valadez, Pima County Supervisor. Now we bring in H.T. Sanchez. Dr. Sanchez is the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, which is the second largest school district in the state, the largest district in southern Arizona for sure. Dr. Sanchez, thanks for being with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I've got a zillion questions, and a lot of the listeners and our Facebook friends on Buckmaster have been sending me questions, and we've been getting them on emails. Let's get right into it.
Yes,
first
sir.
Of all, Dr. Stegeman made a accusation on this radio station on the Daily Double show a couple of days ago, in effect accusing you and Adelita Grijalva, a board member, and Cam. No, was it? I think it was you, Adelita, and Crystal Foster as meeting, violating open meeting laws and meeting secretly to set the agenda for school board meetings.
Okay. Well, you know, that's, I have a reputation, I guess, for calling it like it is, and that is, unfortunately, that is a lie. I mean, we have our agenda committee meetings. We tend to have representation from the media at the majority of those meetings. Usually it's our Arizona Daily Star reporter who attends those meetings. The minutes are kept. Everything's documented. The items come in. They're reviewed. Our director of board operations, officiates and makes sure that everything there is captured in writing. And it's an open meeting. Anybody who wants to attend can attend. And so, I fear that Dr. Stegeman was looking for a really tasty soundbite, but the facts behind it are a lot less interesting.
How about the DSEG order? Is there a way to end or find the path to end the DSEG order, which is now, I don't know, what is it, 30? It's more than 30 years old.
It's as old as I am, you know. So I was born in 74, and it was born in 74. And so we're the same age, and I hope to see it go before I do. So there is a pathway to it. I mean, we have the Unitary Status Plan. We're working diligently through it. But when you take a look at a DSEG court order, what are the two main pieces? Well, initially it was about access and integration. And then later on, it became about academic achievement and closing gaps among different ethnic groups. And when you take a look at TUSD and you take a look at the state of Arizona, we're an open enrollment state. Kids have access to any school they want to go to in the district as well as outside of the district. And we provide bus transportation. So when you look at integration, by and large, we have an integrated student population when it comes to our African-American students, because our African-American students are distributed throughout the district. When you take a look at our Latino students, you find much of the same thing. So when it comes to integration with our minority groups, well, they're now the majority in terms of Latino, and then African-American we have distributed throughout. So our minority group now is our Anglo students. And so when we're talking about integration, it's almost reverse integration, where we're trying to get Anglo students to go into schools where at one point in time there might have been a majority of Anglo students, but because of open enrollment and charters and everything else. And then you have the whole movement out into suburban districts that weren't there in the time that this quarter was put into place. We've addressed it. So our focus now is on the academic achievement side.
H.T. Sanchez, Dr. Sanchez is with us from TUSD, the superintendent, 790-2040. Any questions about TUSD, Dr. Sanchez would be very happy to address those questions. Getting back to this whole question about an internal audit, now, it is not required by law that there be this internal audit. However, the board did vote down a proposal, 3-2 was the vote, to not go ahead with the internal audit. Were you disappointed with that or what?
You know, this internal auditor conversation—
Is too much being made of this?
Too much is being made of this. I mean, we have an external audit. I'll go on the record of saying I've never opposed the internal auditor. And there was a time where Ms. Grijalva actually moved an internal auditor. She moved the item and it died for lack of a second. And so people forget that. And so I did want to go on the record saying I'm not opposed to it, but let me go back a bit because I believe that nobody wants an internal auditor. And let me tell you why. I don't believe Dr. Stegman wants an internal auditor because twice when he served as board president, he had a board majority in terms of votes where he could have put the item on the agenda. He was on the agenda committee. It could have been agendized. It could have been voted on. He was in the majority. So twice he served as president. And during those two times as president, it wasn't on the agenda. It didn't pass. And so now, even though it's something that he's championing now, when he had the presidency, it makes you wonder why he didn't do it then. Is this, you know, something he's trying to hang over the head of the board saying they don't want transparency when he had the opportunity to promote this transparency when he was in the majority? You know, I just question the motive behind it all. And, you know, Mesa School District is the largest.
Is he playing games here, in your opinion?
In my opinion, you
know. Bottom line, is he playing games on this audit thing?
It is a game. I mean, unfortunately, I feel it is a game. If he wanted it passed, it would have been passed two superintendents ago. And it's that simple. Or one superintendent ago, and it's that simple. And
there was talk, this deal that he had with board member Cam Juarez.
You know,
the deal being that Cam would agree to vote for the internal auditor.
I wasn't in the room when Dr. Stegman and Mr. Juarez met to try to work through an arrangement. But I will tell you what was shocking is after the agenda item and their draft had been sent to the board, Dr. Stegman then began posting things on his Facebook page, sending emails, asking for modifications to what they had agreed to. So by the time it came up for a vote, what Mr. Waters and Mr. Stegman initially had worked on looked different than what they had discussed when they had met. And so, you know, of course, it was played out as, well, Mr. Waters just, you know, broke our trust, when in fact there were emails and Facebook postings that deviated from that initial conversation. And so that's, you know, the rest of the story, I suppose.
Is this making it hard for you right now, this division, this 3-2 vote that's always coming up? And you've got Dr. Stegman, you said earlier that he made a lie when he was on this radio station a couple of days ago. Is it tough now for you when you've got a board that's really kind of hammering it at each other?
Well, you know, being the third superintendent in less than a five-year span will speak to how difficult it is when you have a divided board. I mean, you know, there's no secret to that, and I think people know. In successful districts, what's the secret? I mean, take a look at the districts around us that are very successful. They have superintendents that have been there a long time. They have boards that deal with their internal issues internally and come out after having those tough conversations and public and the votes done, they all support the vote, they move forward, and they get on to the next item. And so I believe that I have board members, all five of them, that want to do what's right for kids. I believe that. But I believe the challenge is in how they work to accomplish that. You know, we have three that work very well together to accomplish that. Then we have two that I just don't understand their methodology. And we've proposed getting board members out to trainings and bringing in folks to do a workshop, and people just can't line up their schedules. And so it does make it challenging. But, I mean, we have 49,000 families that have chosen us, and we have to keep doing the work, and we have to stay focused on the students. And if we do that, we have to keep moving forward. It's just too important.
All right, H.T. Sanchez is with us. Ed, I think this would be a good point to take our break. I have so many more questions for the superintendent, so we'll do our break here. And if folks want to join in, this is your opportunity. You've got the superintendent right here, 790-2040. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Ed, you know that's my favorite. That's my favorite bump music. Puts me in a good mood when I hear it. H.T. Sanchez is with us, the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Have so many questions, so many comments that we still want to get in here in our final 10 minutes together. Okay, you signed a 3-year deal when you came to Tucson. You're in your second year. Are you staying?
You know, yes, sir, I am staying. I mean, last night I was at an event at one of our schools, and a teacher had asked that very question. And, you know, I'm committed to the work. We've made it a year and a half now, and I look forward to finishing out this 3-year contract.
Have you had job offers? even recently?
Yes, sir. I have, outside of the state, and I've had some, and I've let them know that, we have a 5-year strategic plan. I'd like to see as much of that through as the board would like me to be in this position to see it through.
Okay, so you're not leaving, at least not immediately.
No, sir, not immediately. No, sir.
H.T. Sanchez with us. Wayne is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yes, Superintendent Sanchez. I just wanted to know if the district would be willing to lease or sell the empty schools that are currently in the district to charter schools, and if not, why not?
Sure. We actually have, as part of our desegregation court order, a stipulation that if we sell these facilities, they can't have a negative effect on integration. And so if a facility is sold, if a school is sold, and it would pull kids out of a school that's integrated or moving towards integration, then the court could very well step in and could stop the sale. And as we've taken a look at the effects that charter schools have had, not just in Southern Arizona, but across the state of Arizona, it does create complications when you're under a court order and you're trying to integrate. So it's less so much about the governing board and myself and more about what we're not allowed to do as part of our desegregation court order.
All right. Another question that always comes up. 47% of the dollars don't go to the classroom. This seems to get folks very, very riled up. Then, in other words, 47 cents on every dollar is not going into instruction in the classroom. What do you say to these people who really, this is probably, I think, the number one thing that we hear that people point to. TUSD is a horrible school district, they say, because not even half of the money is going into the classroom.
You know, what I'd love to do at some point, and it may be sooner than later, is set up some community workshops to really talk about how finance is figured in Arizona. When you take a look at what's considered in the classroom, it's a teacher standing in front of students. But you also would think that the nurse and the school counselor and the instructional aides, and you would like to think also that, teachers that pull kids out who are struggling with reading or mathematics, and librarians would all be counted in as classroom expenditures, but they're not. So when you take a look at just the numbers, of course, it just makes people angry. And if you don't dig deeper, you don't realize that all of the people on the campus are there to support students, but only the teachers standing in front of the students are by a very strict definition considered classroom expenditure. And so when the governor said he wanted to see us move 5% more into the classroom, hey, I'd love to do that. But then when you take a look at what's considered in the classroom, I mean, last year we put $11 million more into dropping class size. $11 million more into dropping class size last year. That gets lost on people. But when you take a look at the way this all works, it's a matter of who's defined as being in the classroom and who's not. And people would think, the librarian, of course, she's classroom, but she's not. Or they would think the intervention teacher who pulls kids out, or the mentor teacher who supports.
So there's more to this than people are.
There's a lot more to
this.
Yes, sir.
Another one of our Facebook friends saying, do you support a reduction in pay for administrators? This Facebook friend on the Bill Buckmaster Show thinks there are too many administrators. And he also asks, how about hiring more teachers?
I go back to what I just said. Last year, we hired over 200 more teachers than in the previous year. We actually had a decrease in student enrollment, but an increase in the number of teacher positions we hired for. So we are moving in that direction. You know, this year we committed over $4 million to doing a teacher pay raise, not just a bonus, but an actual pay raise. It gets onto their salary schedule. And so I agree with that, with the statement of paying teachers more. But when you say, well, let's reduce administrators' salaries, we're in an educational environment where you need good principals, you need good administrators to lead programs and to lead schools, and you need people that have that compassion and desire to sit down and set that campus climate and work with parents and work through kids who are having tough situations. I mean, there's a whole lot to being an administrator. I mean, if anybody thinks they, sit around, drink coffee and chit-chat, they need to go and visit one of our schools, and they'll find principals in schools working with kids in classrooms. They'll see that it's a very important role. I think the appropriate question is, why are we committing in the governor's budget $5 million more to prison beds and a request for $70 million more for prison beds, and we're cutting funding for public education. You know, I think that's the question that needs to be asked. Are we going to be a state of incarceration over education? If you look at the budget, and the budget is a reflection of our priorities, I think you'd say, well, heck yeah, we are.
Isn't this a school district that gets very little good publicity? And that, I know that makes you very upset.
You know, it does, because we have amazing people that do great work. I mean, our infant and early learning centers, which were two closed schools that we opened up last year, one at Brickton, one at Shoemaker, won the People's Choice Award for infant and early education. The mayor and I did a press conference to announce that, you know, this is the key to the future, is early education, not, you know, later incarceration. And we won the Common Ground Award from the Metropolitan Pima Alliance for our five-year strategic plan, because it's a vision that allowed us to streamline our processes and put some money back into teacher salaries. So we've done some good work, and we continue to do good work. And our kids win accolades, and our teachers win accolades. We have Rodale teachers, Rodale principals. It's a very competitive process. And, you know, I've always been intrigued, because people who know our teachers and who know our principals and know our schools love what they get. People who don't and who are on the outside, and they get to hear what's on the outside, they have a different impression. So as always, I mean, my principals, my teachers invite people to come in and see what's going on the inside. Get to know us.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Steve called us at 790-2040. Steve, you are with Superintendent H.T. Sanchez. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello, Mr. Sanchez. My name's Steve. I just want to tell you, this past summer I had talked to you on the phone about the solar panels, and you cleared up some questions I had, so I just want to say I appreciate that, and I also think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
But I also have a question. At Golf Links and Bonanza, there's been empty land that's been sitting back there behind these houses for years, and it's owned by QSD, but it's just desert. I was wondering if you guys are going to do anything about that, sell it so they could maybe build some houses and QSD can get some money in?
Yes, sir. What we're actually looking at right now, it's actually part of our five-year strategic plan, and it's a long-range facilities component. And so this year, we're analyzing all of our facilities. We're taking a look at where our families are settling, young families with children. And what I'll be bringing to the board before this year's up will be a long-range plan that will talk about the disposition of properties that have closed schools, or properties that, like the one you described, are vacant, belong to the district. So, you know, if we don't see young families in the area and there's not a need for it, we'll be willing to sell it. So we're pulling that all together. It's something that hasn't been done in the past in terms of taking a look at a long-range strategy. And so we're very interested in putting together that business plan.
Okay, Matt, I'm going to go back to you. We already talked about open meetings, but I'm going to make your question really, really tight here for me, please. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, yeah, just quickly, that I'm disappointed, because I believe that Dr. Stegman had a chance with regards to the auditor position, and instead of being grateful for having it agendized and actually discussed and voted on, he seems to have, per you, Bill, attacked the superintendent and another board member, which again reflects a disingenuous attempt to manage TUSD from his attitude.
Okay. But oh, go ahead, Matt.
Thank you, Superintendent. I think you are doing an excellent job, and you've navigated a very difficult political environment, and I think TUSD is on very strong footing. And I want you to know that the community absolutely appreciates your expertise, and who would imagine that you went into education to manage real estate as well, but that's how complicated today is. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. We've still got about a minute with H.T. Sanchez, Dr. Sanchez, saying that he's had quite a few job opportunities that have come along already, and he has said no at this point. He had signed a 3-year deal, and I get the feeling you're in at least to honor that 3-year deal.
Yes, sir. Yeah. No, I'm committed to honoring that 3-year deal, and if, like I said, the board would like me to continue to move through the strategic plan with them, I'd be honored to do that. And so, I do serve at their pleasure, and I recognize that, and I don't take anything for granted. But I am enjoying the work. I am enjoying the challenges, even though the environment's tough. I do enjoy it, and maybe there's something wrong with me, but I do enjoy the work.
I'm going to give you an opportunity here. I know all of the board members will be hearing this interview. Is there something that you would like to say to them all at this point, just generally?
I guess it's just what I said coming in. I remember one of the interview questions asked of me was, what was I going to do to change TUSD? And my response is, I can't do anything to change TUSD by myself, but together we can change TUSD. And I think we have a very willing, no, I don't think, I know we have a very willing community and a very committed community. We had our Steps to Success. The mayor and over 400 people came out to go and bring kids back to school. We have an amazing community that wants us to succeed. And so I hope that the board will focus on that amazing community and our amazing children and all the dedicated people to move us forward.
All right. H.T. Sanchez, Dr. Sanchez, thank you for sharing part of your lunch hour with us. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you.
All right. I want to do a big shout out to one of our sponsors, one of the people that believe in the work we do here at the Buckmaster Show. His name is Mike Emery. He is a master mechanic, and all of his team at Perfection Auto Works. If you have a foreign or domestic car, and I'm sure you have one or the other, if you're driving around town, it's got to be either made in America or made somewhere else. Regardless of where it is made, Mike and the team can help you at Perfection Auto Works. Check out the website, perfectionautoworks.com. This afternoon, it's 4, Tucson at 4. Want to promote all of our local talk here. That's with Mike Shaw. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8. The Daily Double with Christy Simone, 8 to 9. Those shows will be engineered, as will the Buckmaster Show tomorrow with Ed Alexander. Ed and I wish you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.